Right, let's get to questions. The brilliant Catmint has an idea for how I can get this on my desktop, which, let's all remember, Stephen doesn't know anything about technology, so it made my mind go mushy. But I might get to it at a certain point. Anyway, let's go to questions, because that's always nice. Petronella's question for Friday. I see, but I hope Christopher Friday. Yeah. Read an article by The Naked Brief on Substack. It's a really good Twitter account, The Naked Brief. I do wonder if it means they're a barrister, but they don't seem to claim that. With the disproportionate sentencing of Lucy, yes. Yes, Lucy Connolly. Can we just get our heads around the fact that we as a country have put a mum, in prison for, you know, whatever it is, 2 years and 7 months, for a tweet that she deleted a few hours later. Now, it called for politicians to be burned alive. No politicians were burned alive, so it's very difficult to argue that it was a causative tweet to anything, in my view. If criminal law takes a different view, well, that's criminal law. But at the end of the day, we've put a mum in prison for 31 months over a tweet. And we're currently denying her compassionate leave. The prison governor has repeatedly denied her compassionate leave. Her daughter is not taking this well. I mean, she had a son, and he died when he was 18 months old in a medical scandal in the NHS. And so, obviously, that's horrendous and traumatic. So, obviously, you know, she ends up close to her daughter, who's 12. That's so obvious. That's just obvious. That's what happens. And then the daughter can't really deal with her mum not being there. Well, quel surprise. And the prison governor says, no, you can't go and spend one day out with your daughter. I mean, we let everybody except the most violent criminals do this. And it will be standard there. And she will be watching people go who have done worse things than she's ever done. And yet we are a nation who apparently can't let her out to talk to her 12-year-old daughter. We are the monsters. Okay? And we are, because I want us always to have ownership. One of the things, Denise, that you do, that Hillary does, that Petronella does, that many of us do now, and we always encourage people to do, is that we are taking ownership of our country. That also means responsibility. So we can't sit there and just blame Keir Starmer. We have to say this is our fault. Because we are part of this. We are part of a process and a system and a country that is allowing this to happen while rapists and murderers and paedophiles are getting out. When a violent man, was given early release and then stabbed a man on the day he was early released, and yet no scandal for the Prime Minister, but we can't let Lucy Connolly out. It's absolutely disgraceful. Is there a course through the ECHR? Well, this is what's happening, Petronella, is that because we have so many laws, I do think law is breaking down. And so we're ending up in the position where the ECHR seems to only really work if you're a lefty. And she's not a lefty, so it feels as though she won't get the protection of the ECHR. In theory, I think she should get the protection of the ECHR. But isn't it absolutely remarkable how laws seem to work in magic ways now? We need to go back to a much simpler system with fewer laws where they all mean exactly the same thing for all of us, regardless of anything else. You know, long-haired people should not get special treatment under the law. Tubby middle-aged men who sit in libraries and go on live streams should not get special treatment under the law. Dog owners should not get special treatment under the law. You know, this is just nonsense. We all need to go back to a much better system. My heart breaks every time I think of Lucy Connolly. Alison Pearson is doing her absolute best, as are some other heroes. Lord Young, I note, has taken up the cause. Let's get her out. Just keep. Could everybody write to their MP and just say, you know, whatever, bygones be bygones. She's been punished. Can we just get her out? Stick her on an ankle tag. I don't care. Just get her out. She doesn't need to be in prison. She's not a threat to anyone. She's deleted her Twitter account. I doubt she'll ever go on Twitter again. The poor thing probably can't pick up a mobile phone for terror of, you know, PTSD. We used to be a compassionate and loving country that believed in forgiveness and redemption. And I really want that back. And I really think we should all call for that back. Right. That's Petronella. Dave. Thank you, Stephen. Dave in the spirit of the lovelies. Are we still bound by any EU law, even though we have left the EU? Yes. in a manner of ways, because there is legacy EU law still here. And one of the problems I was asked to help with, the getting rid of the EU law that didn't even happen, that was always only secondary EU law. Absolutely nobody came up with the idea of getting rid of primary EU law. A lot of it masquerades as acts of parliament. And one of the things that really enraged me, I had, like everybody else at the bar, I had completely damned Nigel Farage until I saw him debate with Nick. No, stop it. You two are just acting like it's lawless because I'm chatting. It's not lawless and you can't just chew anything. I saw him debate Nick Clegg. No, right. Stop it. You are getting very close to being told off. Yes, you are. I saw him debate Nick Clegg, and Nick Clegg said that he said that there was EU laws, and Nick Clegg said that English Acts of Parliament, so they're not EU laws. I'm sorry, Mr. Clegg, but I consider that disingenuous. They are EU laws that were made into English Acts of Parliament because we had no choice because we're members. Love the EU, hate the EU, but that is EU law. And that is not UK law. If British parliamentarians rubber stamp an EU document, that is not UK law. And so for the first time ever, I felt sympathy for Nigel Farage. This is like 2015 or 2014, something like that, years and years ago. But so, yes, we are still bound by legacy EU law. We never got rid of the secondary legislation that Boris and Liz both tried to because they fell too quickly and then Rishi didn't do it. So that's all still here. All those, whatever they came up with, some ridiculous number that was nonsense. It wasn't all of it, but it was thousands. I can't remember what the nonsense number was now. And they said it will take years to do. And I went on Jacob and said I can do it in a month, which I could. Because it's just tosh. Just, a lot of this stuff is just absolute rubbish. That, you know, regulating the Latvian grain industry. And it's like, well, we don't need this, do we? Also, can Starmer, and the other one is Northern Ireland, Dave. Always remember that Northern Ireland remains governed by the EU in one of the most disgraceful events of my lifetime, where a part of the United Kingdom is governed by a foreign power. For reasons. Because Ollie Robbins said. Just mental. Can Starmer bring in conscription without having the blessing of Parliament and the King? No, he can't do anything without the blessing of Parliament. He certainly can't bring in conscription. And the King just technically has to sign onto it. But they can bring in conscription via Parliament. The King will have to sign off on it. He'll have no choice. And your grandsons will have to disobey if they want to disobey. We did have conscientious objectors. We always have. I'm not sure conscription would work terribly well now, but I'm no military expert and we are where we are. And you only asked me if we could, and we can. They can. Hi, Stephen. I have not said who this is. Oh, this is the system is not working. Hi, Stephen. Maybe it's Dave again. Dave, did you do a Hillary? Dave did a Hillary. Under the Human Rights Act 1988, particularly Article 1 of Protocol, number one, the right to peaceful enjoyment of possessions. Yes, which I always find, Dave, so just for everybody else, Article, what in the Human Rights Act, which is a declaration of fundamental rights. Now, you get a lot of these in human societies. They're not uncommon. You know, we hold these truths to be self-evident. We have, you know, that's in the American Constitution. But, you know, the fundamental rights is a universal human idea. Or it comes up as a universal here. You don't have to have them, but many societies do. Ours really, really was based on property rights because it was largely evolved out of the Normans constantly nicking stuff from the Saxons and the Saxons getting really cheesed off with this and basically rebelling and eventually forcing there to be a fundamental right to private property, which we consider to be like at the core value. And this is where you get things like an Englishman's home is his castle and all sorts of stuff like this. You know, this is just, that's our core right. Yet in the human rights EU stuff, because that's written more to deal with them and their problems murdering their own citizens during the Second World War, it ends up in a mere protocol, the right to property. But it is there, and it's important that we remember it's there. And Dave also references Article 8, which is part of private life, which I suppose people have extended it to say it sort of is a bit like property. It just shows how this document really wasn't very for us. It was very much for them. We had not murdered millions of our own people. So we did not genuinely think. We joined the Council of Europe, which, you know, was seen as a diplomatic move. But the idea of putting this into English law, it took 40 years for any lunatic to think that was a good move. And it's not. Government justified the prioritising of accommodation, welfare, legal protection, the growing number of migrants over British citizens. I don't know. And the problem is, if you go to Strasbourg, they'll side with government because of their politics. So Strasbourg is just an office block that has left, centre-left politics. And therefore, all that comes out of it is centre-left politics. I don't think any of this is law. I don't think any of this is valuable. I don't think any of this will help us as a nation where we are now. Mike, I have to say I was disappointed with some of your answers, Stephen. Mike, that's just not in the spirit of loveliness. So you're a bastion against abuses of power. You were retreating behind the law. I don't know what... Just be specific. On abortion, ECHR demands the right to free speech and therefore protest. Single biggest cause of death in the world. Abortion breaks my heart. You bring an argument you may not have heard. Must we? What's the question? Fetuses would become children but for termination. Yes. I hate abortion. I absolutely hate it. Everybody sane should hate it. Nobody should praise it ever. Disputes consciousness. I'm just not seeing the question, Mike. I'm not trying to be rude, because that's not the spirit of loveliness. Many respected neurosurgeon. Blah, blah, blah. Life has a soul. Well, I believe in consciousness. Yeah, I do. So I think consciousness, like gravity and electromagnetism, are forces physics cannot explain. They're obviously necessary. Schrödinger proved that. But I'm really not seeing a legal question here. Oh, it's about the lady who got fined. Yes, that was awful. Was it proportionate? I think not. No, I don't think it's proportionate. I really hate the fact that we have these silly laws and the police are overinterpreting them. Yeah, absolutely with you. But, I mean, we might start calling it doing a mic, because that is quite a lot of words. It's at least half of the words. So just could we have shorter questions, please? It makes it easier for me. Simon. Hi, Stephen. In your opinion, which laws would need to be repealed for Parliament to regain its sovereignty? Simon does the opposite wrong. Simon, you basically just asked me about all of the law. All of it. It's huge. I'm not going to list them all. I'd probably die before I listed them all. What I will say, Flag Simon, is that other human societies have gotten into this problem before. And that's not surprising, because humans are very, they never change. And they often get into the same problems time and time again. Just like the dogs behave badly when I'm chatting on a. Will you two get on your mat? Anyway, so what I'd flag is that the Eastern Roman Empire realised that it had a problem with too many laws in about 500 AD. And the Emperor Justinian got a very clever lawyer called Tribonian. And he gave Tribonian a group of secretaries who worked with him, staff. And they went through over, about 4 or 5 years, Roman law. And they just deleted loads of it. Deleted, 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 deleted. That's what we need to do. And I need to be Tribonian. I'd love to be Tribonian. I'm sure there are other people who could be it. I'm not a big fathead. I don't have a massive ego. But I could definitely do it. And we need to go through, give me a staff, and let's just delete, 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 delete. What happened afterwards is the Emperor Justinian then, you know, swanned in and took all the credit, called the new legal system the Justinian Code, and then took all the... And that's fine. If a politician wanted to then take all the credit for my hard work, that's absolutely fine. What I want is for this process to happen. So your question is brilliant in a way, Simon, but it's just too big for me to answer. But it does lead to a need we have now. As in, I need to sit there in an office with a group of staff going through the whole legal system, deleting things. What can we delete? What can't we delete? I was very excited by the task with the retained EU law, because at least it was a beginning. You know, at least, and it would have molded. I would have got used to saying to ministers, do you want to keep that or get rid of it? It doesn't do anything. But it's your choice. And then they'd trust me more. And I would have built up trust. So if the Boris government had survived, if the Liz government had survived, I would have done a lot more in this. The Rishi government didn't like me. And this current government has no intention of fixing anything. It just wants to increase public sector employment. That's all it does. Marie, Stephen, BitChute has apparently chosen to exit the UK due to the Online Safety Act. Apparently, since March 17, Ofcom can fine social media companies up to 10% of their annual turnover if they fail to comply with the act. How do we challenge this? Can fine legitimately level a guest unknown attempt to implement Great Repeal? Yes, it's still possible. A Great Repeal Act is still possible, Marie, who goes on to do a Hillary. But Marie, the Online Safety Act is appalling. The other thing I'd like to flag is that this is really against our legal tradition. Really, really against it. GDPR is really against our legal tradition. We have a tradition that compensation, money, should be proportionate to the action. Okay, so you don't just do things like, say, 10% of annual global turnover. What? No. No, that's not proportionate to the wrong, is it? It's obviously not. You've taken such a broad brush that it's nonsense. GDPR does it. I think it's like 40%. It's monstrous. We need to go back to not having laws like this. I can't. They're not illegal. It's legal to have a law like this if we really, really want to. But it is against our tradition. It's against everything we as a country stand for. I think it is bad law to have this type of disproportionate fine. I certainly wouldn't give the power to Ofcom, who I personally don't trust, but I wouldn't give them to any unaccountable regulator. That's madness, giving them extreme powers. They could break the economy, and they're not accountable to anybody. You know, the whole point is that ministers should be accountable. So if we've lost BitChute, Marie, then it's because we're governing ourselves in a stupid way. And if we govern ourselves in a stupid way, which I think we are, we really need to start using the political system to tell the political class that they are failing and make it so obvious that even they can't ignore it. Now, Marie did a Hillary. Question about the Magna Carta. Have you still? Yes, two such clauses are apparently, and the government's own website. If no free man may be seized in prison, dispossessed without law. Yes. To no one will we sell, and to no one will we deny or delay the right to justice. Yes. Now, so the point I really want to make about that is that we do charge for access. So one of the few parts of the Magna Carta. So go away and listen to episodes 1 and 2 of the Constitution. I need to do episode 10. Will you two stop? When these two stop being a nightmare. But don't worry about that. Where I explain Magna Carta. But yes, some of the extant parts are that we shouldn't sell access to justice for profit. The state has no right to sell. But since the state has a monopoly on justice, the state has no right to sell access to justice for profit. We have been doing that. We have been doing that since the 800th anniversary of the Magna Carta. And I remember that specifically because there were lots of parties to celebrate the 800th birthday of the Magna Carta. And being at the bar, I got invited to loads of those parties. So I would be there drinking lots of sparkling wine and having lots of canapés and everybody going on about how marvellous the Magna Carta is when we were fundamentally breaching it for the first time ever. We used to have an absolute cast iron principle that court fees, so the cost you have to pay if you want to go to court, we worked out how much the court system cost, and then we worked out how many cases there were, and then every year they went up or down in order to reflect the cost of running the court. So court fees were only used for the cost of running the court. They weren't, therefore, a tax. They didn't breach Magna Carta. That went out the window in the coalition government. Absolutely out the window. And they started, what they do to my clients in particular, is they just charge a flat fee of 10% or £10,000. So my clients all paid £10,000 to access the court. Now, that is not the cost of running the court. So the Treasury is running at a profit from my clients. A lot of, you know, ordinary people like me can't afford that type of money just to start the court action. It doesn't do anything. It just gets you a stamp from the court. Then you have to pay lawyers. Then you have to do that. Then you have to do this and this, blah, 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 blah. And this is why, you know, my type of trial ends up costing £400,000 because, you know, it all adds up. It is morally abhorrent and it is against Magna Carta. And again, it's on Stephen's big list of things to fix. And I mean, I know you're raising Stephen, actually Lennon, but I think this is bigger than him. I think it's more important that we need to go back to being Bella, go Matt, go back to being a nation where we don't sell access to the courts for profit. because I'm sure it's not that big a contribution to the Treasury budget, and it's immoral. It's wrong. Marie then went on to be really lovely to Simon, which was nice to see. I always like loveliness. So it's one of the joys of the Substack, is that I get to see people being nice to each other. Samantha raises the elephant in the room. Samantha raises Hamas. How on earth are non-British terrorists, Hamas, allowed to take us to court in our own country, costing us money? Why are they not shutting down Riverway Law, who are not British-owned, for even going against us? You two, stop that! Stop it! Biscuit! Biscuit! Yeah, that's what happens, Biscuit. Exact. Well, that... No, Bellic or Matt. They've taken the doorstop and they think it's a dog toy. My life. I try and have nice things. And then I also have dogs. Samantha, Hamas. Right. So Hamas are allowed to use our courts because Tony Blair thought that that would be a good thing. You've just turned off the computer. Go and sit on that mat. They step on the little buttons that turn. This is still live, thank goodness. But my computer's just, they've just turned it off. Monsters. A little paw has just gone on a switch and turned off the computer. You go sit down. So now I don't know if I'm going to get everybody's questions. But anyway, the Hamas question is the most important. So Tony Blair decided that in his worldview, if a Home Secretary prescribes a terrorist organisation, then that needs to be challenged in the courts. That's his opinion and that's his politics. And we don't have to be like that. I have no particular problem, and the Constitution has no particular problem, with the Home Secretary simply deciding who is and who aren't terrorists. If we get a Home Secretary who does bonkers things and declares, you know, perfectly innocent people terrorists, if they declared this Substack terrorists, or if they declared, you know, the Women's Institute terrorists, then I think we'd all kick off in the press and as a public and as a body politic, and said Home Secretary would soon be out on his or her ear. So, and I have no doubts or worry that that would happen. I love and trust my country. I love and trust the people in my country. I have faith in them, so I don't worry about that. But Tony Blair has no faith in the British people, so he didn't think that that would be the appropriate thing. So he gave them a technical route of appeal. This is what I call one of those systems that was always going to be abused. Okay, this is it's obvious that it was always going to be abused. Now, he did it in the year 2000. So to his credit, it hasn't yet been abused for 25 years, or it hasn't been yet abused to the extent it's going to be abused for 25 years. But what he also then did was he realised that there is a problem for anybody who wants to bring an application, because you might be seen as supporting terrorism, because just by the act of, you know, bringing the application, you are supporting terrorism. So he's put in Section 10, this is all the Terrorism Act 2000, you can go and look it up, Google it. In Section 10, there is an immunity for anybody who does anything in relation to the application. Now, it's really badly drafted, which is not uncharacteristic of law from the Blair era. And that, to me, is a bit too woolly. And I would have drafted that in a much more narrow way, as in I would have probably used the phrase directly connected with. But I still think it's narrow enough that some of the stuff that's happening isn't protected by that immunity. And that's what one of the article published today talks about and goes through. So do go and have a look at that. I give a variety of examples of things that hypotheticals that would in theory go beyond the Section 10 immunity. But yeah, Tony Blair wanted foreign terrorists to be able to use our courts in order to appeal their position, just in case we ever got a dodgy Home Secretary. Now, the process is Home Secretary first, a panel that, as far as I can tell, I don't think it exists. So I think it's going to have to be created very quickly, almost certainly out of existing judges if they've got any common sense. And then this random panel, which is not really accountable to us, again, this is very Blairite, will make its decision. It's the one most likely to do something stupid, because it's not accountable. Unaccountable bodies much more, and this is the Stevens law, but unaccountable bodies much more statistically likely to do something stupid. Then it would go to the Court of Appeal. Court of Appeal will know them. They've got names. They've got reputations. We'll be able to watch them. They'll be on the telly. Accountable, much less likely to do something stupid. So in my view, Yvette Cooper is not stupid enough to do to take away the designation from Hamas. The only people who potentially are at the Faceless Committee and the Court of Appeal will almost certainly not do it. So it's not going to happen. So what are they? Why are they doing it? And that's because I think this is an abuse of the system. I think this is what happens. The process becomes the punishment. And Israelis and Jews and British Jews and the people who support them are going to have to go through weeks and months of dodgy claims being cited and dodgy things said, which simply aren't true. Like, there isn't a genocide in Gaza, but it's going to be said in a British courtroom. And then to the, you know, impressionable lot, it will be said, this was said in court, as though that has any authority at all. It doesn't. The only thing that has any authority in court is what a judge says. But yes, I think we're going to go, we're all going to live through the Hamas show. Now, the other thing, when I say I love my country, and I do, and one of the reasons I love the lovelies here, is that I don't believe any of this will fall for this for a second. I don't think this will cut through. I don't think this is some brilliant political campaign by Hamas. I think it's going to pardon the pun, but blow up in their face. Because I think the ordinary, decent British people will go, hang on, that's awful. That's absolutely awful. And the government will have to make clear what Hamas did on the 7th of October. The government's going to have to make, I think the government, this may come back to bite the government on the bottom, because Hamas have been stealing the aid from UNRWA, yet we are funding UNRWA. That's going to get a lot more attention as this goes on. And just the complicity. So are we funding? Is the government funding? Are they supporting? Those questions are going to start to be asked, which I can only have only one answer to. Good. But yes, Hamas can use our courts to appeal our Home Secretary with no deadline on it, which is stupid. I mean, you've got a deadline. If you get unfairly sacked from your job, you've got a deadline of 3 months. But no, international terrorists, we don't want to bother them with deadlines. Why should they be subject to rules and laws? So yeah, and it's going to be a total show. And it's going to be disgraceful. And I'll be there along the way. I've done two articles already. I'll be doing more on it. I know more is going on it. Yeah, I just... Absolutely shocking, Samantha, isn't it? It's just shocking. And we know that they're terrorists. So this is really, it's this Star Trekification of our society, where there is this centrist dad, there is this belief that the clever thing to do is to be really, really kind to people who hate you. And there's some logic in it sometimes, but all the time, no, that's just mad. I always like to raise the fact that in my area of practice, in commercial litigation, we'd settle something like 97.5% of all claims get settled. But that doesn't mean you settle 100%. It would be mental to settle 100%. That means giving in all the time. So your opponent now knows you give in all the time. Oh, well, your opponent will abuse that knowledge. And that's the state we as a society are at, where our opponents, and let's start calling them that, because there are people in our society who hate themselves in our society, and they are our opponents if we love the country and believe in good things. They're going to abuse all this stuff. And we're just going to have to watch and sit through this and know every time that we don't have to be like this. We don't have to have the Terrorism Act 2000. We don't have to have this appeal route. We don't have to do it like this at all. There are other ways to be, there are other ways that we can structure our society. You know, as far as I can tell, a huge amount of legal aid goes to immigration and not enough goes to crime and protecting citizens who have perhaps trouble in a marriage or who have civil problems. We don't have to be the way that we are. There's a great sort of, it's so funny, they're more conservative than the conservatives, but these social democrats, these Tony Blairites, these lefties, social democrats is what they technically are, but there's a lovely social democratic party that isn't like these people at all. So words are all getting a bit wibbly wobbly, but we don't, all you ever need to know, and my greatest crime, this is why they scream and scream and scream at me, is that I just always say we don't have to be like this. We can be how we want to be. And that doesn't mean how Stephen wants to be. It's how we all want it to be. Catmint, as well as helping with technical stuff, has a question. Our legal aid system needs a complete overhaul. How can it be that the rape gangs and illegal immigrants access to state funds? Yeah, I was just touching on this. Yeah. I mean, we should be, how can funding be stopped for dual nationals? Same criteria of no pay in, no pay out. which was a founding principle of the welfare state. I mean, that was the idea, that everybody would pay in so they would get a payout. That seems fair. We can change how our country is. We're going to have to, because we can't carry on as we are. Just the obvious point that, you know, 600 people came over on a boat yesterday, or when, however many it was. We cannot afford to pay for them all to have a hotel room. We cannot afford to pay for them all to have a flat. We cannot do this. You know, it's just not possible. They are stealing things and taking them to the mat. On the plus side, it does get them to the mat. On the downside, they then get destroyed. But they are on the mat. It's a real dilly of a pickle for me. But Catmint, yeah, I'm with you. Ali, Stephen, will you offer your services to Rupert's Red Gang? If he wants me, of course. Lots of big names joining. Yes, and I'm a shy Ben. I don't really like to put myself forward, so I'll just sort of sit and wait. If he wants me, of course I would help him in any capacity he thinks that I would be useful. But I don't need to be involved ever. I don't really have much of an ego. Julie, West Yorkshire Police, what they're doing wrong and how do we stop this? It's infuriating. I don't believe it's illegal. So then it becomes a political position whether or not you think it's wrong. I personally do think it's wrong. I don't think it helps community relations. I actually think the worst thing for community relations right now are the people who are allegedly telling us all that the thing they most care about is community relations. If they'd stop trying to help, I think community relations would be an awful lot better. You know, this is just absolute nonsense. Young white boys do not mean to be discriminated against to help anybody. And I just cut through all this identity politics nonsense because I don't believe in any of this. It's obviously tosh. Racism is obviously stupid against anyone. And I mentor young people, and my young people come from everywhere. And they're marvellous, and I adore my young people, and they deserve to win on merit because they've all got talents. So, yeah, I'm not happy, Julie, either. Jane, hi, Stephen. Question for Friday. Is it legal for an organisation to make a claim against our government when the claimant is not even resident or citizen of our country? Somebody making false claims about clogging up the court system. I do wonder if the court system would deal with these instances more robustly. But I also think Blair worried that the court system would deal with these things robustly. So let's look at the Hamas situation. They're applying to the Home Secretary and not applying to a court. Then they'll apply to this body no one's ever heard of, a Tony Blair invented thing. That's not a court, and it's unlikely to be robust. And then finally, if they push it through, as we all know they will if they're allowed to, the Court of Appeal will deal with it. Now, the Court of Appeal might deal with it robustly, but that's the first time it's getting to a proper court. Blair created these secondary bodies, these tribunals as well. I mean, this is why so much of immigration is wrong. It's just then the tribunals don't behave the way courts do. They're not often as transparent as courts are. We need to fundamentally fix the justice system. And I think that's just becoming more and more obvious. And every outrage that happens, I think, makes that conclusion clearer to us all. Right. How are we doing for questions in the chat? Catmint, I haven't been able or brave enough to try and follow your advice. I have saved it. I'll try one day. I just hate computing so bad. Right, so I'm going to scroll through the comments. Yes, Mike Bates, white man won a tribunal case against Cheshire Police. Yes. Well, I think that sort of stuff needs to keep happening. But why are we doing this? Why are we doing this? There is no racism in this country. There isn't, because none of us, because racism is bonkers. So just stop it. What they're trying to have is equality of outcome. And they don't care how they get it or how many people they upset. They just want communism. And that's just, and it's often because these people have no merit themselves. So they think it's unfair that other people were born with merit and they weren't. Which is an argument. I mean, I get it. But do you know what? We need meritocracy. And I should not be a Formula, I can't drive, by the way. So I should not be a Formula One driver, even no matter how much I wanted it. That would be a bad idea because I have no merit in that. I shouldn't be a runner, should not be a footballer, should not play professional rugby. There's quite a long list of things Stephen should not do, should not be a professional woodcarver, should not, you know, just all these things that I can't do. The Lord gave me some mild talents. We should all work out whatever our mild talents are and then use them as best we can to lead a good and decent life. And if we truly have no talents at all, we can be kind and good and decent. And that is a magical talent. I mean, it just, you know, how many people are truly polite and kind? You know, so that I've always, you know, this is just that's the best thing to be. In these bad times, I have no faith. And that's the way anti-British lawyers, well, I think they're getting, I mean, I don't think that the Hamas crowd got the reaction that they were expecting. And I've said for many years that I think the silent majority has already made up its mind because, and literally because, you know, the hate marches leave a lot of mess and the pro-Israel march took its litter home. And if you want to appeal to the silent majority in Britain, you take your litter home. You don't cause a mess. You're not rude to police officers. You don't swear. And you say witty things. So one of the, like the hummus, not Hamas. Just little things like that. That goes down very well. Just say like that. Much of the situation is down to Tony Blair and New Labour. The one I'll say in Blair's defence is that he's the last person to try to actively govern the country. And Sarah's saying I'm making a laugh on ID cards. Good, because I make myself giggle. It's like with my little Ed Says stuff, and now I've got my whole invent a completely unconnected problem that obviously cannot be fixed by ID cards, and then say Tony Blair says only ID cards will fix it. And I am amusing myself by coming up with these things. And I've got a mate who just finds this utterly perplexing, and he's like, why do you tweet that? It's just like, because it makes me laugh. And if it makes somebody else laugh, there's so much evil on Twitter. If I can make one person laugh a day, that's a win, isn't it? You know, Peter Cardwell is marvellous. I mean, he just is. We all saw that interview yesterday. He's absolutely marvellous. I sent him a private message to say that. I think the world of him, what a total hero. Reporting that Lamy has said Hamas will remain as they are. Yeah, well, even if that Cooper is just not bonkers enough to de-prescribe Hamas, it's not happening. You know, just... And it's part of the perversity of what they do, is that they do these truly monstrous things and then they just barefaced go, we didn't do that, people did that to us. And it's just like, and, you know, we're getting more grown up, we're getting more sophisticated with concepts like gaslighting. I think we need to talk again about psychopaths. And I think this is part of the human condition where basically because we're a social ape, has everybody seen kicking Bishop Brenham up the arse on Father Ted? Because again, I think this is where they kick him. And then they all say that they didn't. So he's just like, and they all say, we'd never kick a bishop. So the bishop goes, no, you'd never kick a bishop. So that can't have happened. And they all gaslight Bishop Brennan. And these are the concepts that we're having to deal with. And Hamas, this is what Hamas do and Hamas supporters do. They had a really ridiculous point where they sat and they bowed their heads over stuff that alleged to have happened in 1948. And I was trying, I mean, the stuff that actually happened on the 7th of October 2023 is horrible. I'm not seeing many questions. It's probably because this is the part that's rubbish, isn't it? Because I just scroll through a tiny little thing I can't really see. But people are just being nice to each other, which is lovely. Quick question, Petronella. During Boris's tenure, Dominic Raab worked on the British Bill of Rights, which Hummel stopped. If we already had, yeah, the problem I had with the British Bill of Rights was that it didn't really work and was quite badly written. What I think we should do is maybe think about fundamental rights that we do believe in and then declare them as a non-legally binding statement. So just declare them as principles of the country if you want. And I'd just go back to Dicey's and start with property. And the problem is the minute you start talking about fundamental rights, everybody gets it. It becomes one of those great shopping lists. It's like a Christmas present list. It's everybody's greatest wishes under the sun. It's we should end war and suffering. Famine should be gone. Plague should be ended. You know, just, oh, and that's lovely. But, you know, this is a serious country, not Miss World, you know. So, yes, I didn't have a lot of I wasn't helping him. Dominic. Is a lawyer in his own right and tended to listen to him. I do know some people who were, but no. And I will help people. I help anybody who asks, really. I asked about the appeal for SYL today. Sorry, I didn't see that. What's SYL? I love to call it a term. What's SYL? Stop using letters. I don't do it, you know. Have you all watched? Have you all noticed that I won't do use letters? I don't think they help us communicate. Loads of letters. Don't know what that means. What's that mean? I'm going to wait for Sarah to tell me what SYL is. Saturday Young Luth? UP. Steal-o! Him. We have talked on him before. He'll get his appeal and we'll see what the appeal court says. Mr. Justice Chamberlain is a very good thing. I know it didn't go the way people wanted. We don't tend to interfere too much in prison management. I'm starting to think, particularly with Lucy Connolly, that that's a mistake. And I'm going to argue instead that we need to get prison governors directly responsible to the Home Secretary or the Justice Secretary again, because they're behaving in a bonkers way. I have lots of sympathy for Tommy. I have more sympathy for Lucy Connolly because she really shouldn't be. I mean, she just shouldn't be in prison. Tommy did defy a court order, which I would never do. I know he feels justified in that, and that's a separate issue. But yeah, he will get his appeal and we'll see what the appeal court judges say. He will ultimately come out. He's July, he's coming out. So, and then he doesn't have to breach a court order ever again. So that's fine. And he, you know, he doesn't need to commit a crime ever again. So they won't, there's no reason for them to do anything more with him. Why should courts take Sharia law into account with breaches of our discrimination laws, amongst other things? I don't think they do, Jax. So Sharia law, just let me explain it in a quick, because I've got to go and these two will drive me mad if I don't go. But we signed up to something called the New York Convention. It's from the 50s, to allow people to use different legal systems inside our legal system. And a number of other countries have done this. It's used commercially at something called commercial arbitration. It's used in construction. They have construction arbitration. It's used in shipping. They have admiralty arbitration. It was going to be used in family disputes, in divorces, but the family division messed that up because they're idiots. And it allows people to solve disputes in the way that they want them. And that does include religious disputes. So we have religious courts for Jews. We have religious courts for Sharia law. We have religious courts for Sikhs and a number of other situations where there are religious courts. They are only ever to be used if both people agree. So the most important thing with the Sharia courts is that particularly the wife must honestly and fairly agree. That's, you know, a red flag and an issue I'd want to make sure we're enforcing. But if two people want to solve their dispute using that type of legal system, unless it gets to an outcome that is obviously against public policy, like they're allowing slavery or something like that, then there's no reason to stop them. What they can't do is do something really contrary to public policy, like saying, oh, we have slavery now. So you just know that that's not going to work. But on the other hand, just as part of being a sort of place to work, and just to explain it to you all, the probably the greatest users of arbitration in the world are the Americans. And that's because there are 50 states, and each state has slightly different laws from the other one. And each state has different judges from the other one. And each state elects its own judges. So if you do business in the United States between states, nobody trusts each other. So if I'm a New York company and I'm doing business with a Utah company, I'm like, I'm not using the law of Utah, I use the law of New York. And then the Utah company goes, no, I'm not using the law of New York, use the law of Utah. So to get around this, they have a standard clause contract saying we'll arbitrate. Okay. And then they pick the type of law and then they pick the arbitrators. And because the arbitrators won't be elected officials, they trust the arbitrators. And because the arbitrators, you know, rely on this as a source of income and their life, they've sort of created a sort of backwards legal system. I think that's excessive. I think what you should do is have a legal system people actually want to use, which is why I protect our judges and why I want our judges to go back to total impartiality. And I want to depoliticize them as much as they can so that we will carry on having the best judges in the world and our jurisdiction will carry on being attractive to the world. But healthy competition, you know, breeds respect, and there's no reason to not have arbitration, and there's no way to stop Sharia courts without shutting the whole thing down. And that would hurt us economically, it would hurt us in terms of international finance. just because it's called a Sharia court doesn't mean it can do everything that's in Sharia law. Because again, if it conflicts fundamentally with public policy, nobody can do it. So don't fear these things. I think we should enforce them more, and I think we should have a better idea what's going on in them. Michelle, that exactly, but only if the wife agrees, and that's only the religious part of the marriage. We still would respect the civil part of the marriage. It doesn't have the impacts you think it does. And when two people have children, we will step in whether they're married or not. Ellie says, got what wiped out. Are the British and Irish governments in breach of the UN Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples? It's not incorporated here, so I don't care. Sorry, Ellie, not to be flippant, but I don't think these are arguments we necessarily want to go down. And again, I caution anybody who tries to get governments into courts. What you will do is turn judges into dictators. Judges are not dictators. They'll be really bad at it, like almost all dictators are. It's actually really hard to be... Oh, good. I'm glad I didn't offend you. I didn't mean to be flippant. We must resist this urge to say that, Mr. Judge, can you look after everything? Because he's not dad, and he or she, you know, she's not mum. They're not gods. They're fallible human beings. They should be left to deal with what we want them to deal with. Big and major questions should be left to all of us, the demos. That's why Churchill said we're the worst type of government except all the others. And having judges as living gods would be a different type of government, and I really, really don't want it. It is ironically what Tony Blair wants, and it is what these people believe. But it's so obvious. I just don't understand how people can't see that it's so obviously flawed. But anyway, I'm getting scratched on my arm. I think we're nearly at an hour. Really good turnout. Stats are doing well. People are being incredibly patient with the fact I haven't really produced anything for weeks because of the dogs, but I have now done two articles. I'm going to produce more content and get back to it. Thank you to everybody who stayed loyal. I've been remarkably lucky in paid subscribers. You pay for everything. There would be no Substack without paid subscribers. So you really are the backbone of everything. Other subscribers also, you know, fantastic. And let's carry on doing what we're doing. And I'll, you know, I think we've got a format now. I'll ask on Wednesday for questions for next Friday. And, you know, but I need to do an episode of the Constitution. I need to do an equity episode. And I need to sort of think about something else. I was supposed to do some filming today with Andrew Eborn on Pair of Briefs, and that's gone quiet. I don't know where that got to, but we will be back. And we are the Lovelies. Take care and have a lovely weekend. Bye.